ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ महाराज अग्निध्र टेक्स्ट 11 किं संभृतं रुचिरयो द्विजशृङ्गयोस्ते मध्ये कृशो वहसि यत्र दृशी श्रिता मे पंकोरुण सुरभिरात्म विषाण इद्रिग ये नाश्रमं सुभगमे सुरभि करोषि किं समुचिरयोर्द्विज श्रृंगयोस्ते मध्ये कृशो वहसि यत्र दृशी श्रिता मे पंकोरुण सुरभिरात्म विषाण इद्रिग येनाश्रमं सुभगमे सुरभि करोषि किं संभृतं रुचरयो द्विजसं श्रृङ्गयोस्ते मध्ये कृष्ण यत्र दृशी सीता मे पंकोरुण सुरभिरात्म विषाण ईदृग ये नाश्रमं सुभगमे सुरभि करोषि मध्ये कृशो वहसि यत्र दृशी सीता मे संवितं रुचिरयो द्विजशृङ्गयोस्ते मध्ये कृशो शिशिता मे ladies. Kim, what? Sambhritam, filled. Ruchirayoho, very beautiful. Dvija, O Brahmana. Shringayoho, within two horns. Te, your. Madhye, in the middle. Krishaha, thin. Vahasi, you are carrying. Yatra, wherein. Drishihi, eyes. Shrita, attached. Me, my. Pankaha, powder. Arunaha, red. Surabhihi, fragrant. Atmavishane, on the two horns. Idrik, such. Yena, by which. Ashramam, place of residence. Subhag, O most fortunate one. Me, my. Surabhi Karoshi, you are perfuming. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Agnidhara then praised Purvachitti's raised breasts. He said, my dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence. So this purport, if our contaminated consciousness, it can be very disturbing sometimes. Last few days some brahmacharis were telling me that Prabhuji, these purports are, and the verses that are going on are very sometimes disturbing to our consciousness. But actually, if we hear these purports or read these purports from the perspective that Maharaj Agnidhara is not seeing a woman, he is seeing a man or a Muniputra. And somehow he is confusing, he is not sure, how can a man be so beautiful? And Srila Prabhupada in today's purport explains, how come he is seeing Purvachitti as a man. So hear this from the perspective that Agnidhara, a great king, a very devoted king, a very obedient king, a very responsible king, is seeing a Muniputra, a sage's son, who happens to be quite beautiful. And in a bewildered state that how can someone, a man, be so beautiful, he's seeing here. And Srila Prabhupada is connecting to the consciousness of Maharaj Agnidhara and expressing us his consciousness through Srila Prabhupada's purports. Agnidhara, the purport of Srila Prabhupada, appreciated Purvachitti's raised breasts. After seeing the girl's breasts, he became almost mad. Nevertheless, he could not recognize whether Purvachitti was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. He therefore addressed her with the word Dvija, O Brahmana. Yet, why should a Dvija, a Brahmana boy, have horns on his chest? Because the boy's waist was thin, Agnidhara thought he was carrying the horns with great difficulty, and therefore they must be filled with something very valuable. Otherwise, why would he carry them? When a woman's waist is thin and her breasts are full, she looks very attractive. Agnidhara, his eyes attracted, contemplated the heavy breasts on the girl's thin body and imagined how her back must sustain them. Agnidhara imagined her raised breasts were two horns she had covered with cloth so that others would not see the valuables within them. Agnidhara, however, was very anxious to see them. Therefore, he requested, quote, "Please uncover them so that I can see what you are carrying." Ras assured that I will not take it away. If you feel an inconvenience in removing the covering, I can help you. I myself can uncover them to see what valuable things those raised horns have contained. Unquote. He was also surprised to see the red dust of perfumed kumkum spread over her breasts. Nevertheless, still considering Purvachitti a boy, Agnidhara addressed her as Subhag, most fortunate Muni. The boy must have been fortunate, otherwise, how simply by standing there could he perfume Agnidhara's entire ashram? Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschat Desh Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kant Radha Kant Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripasa Vacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारणम्। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री श्री गौरनिथाय श्री कृष्ण बलराम श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर जी की जय। Back for the blessings of senior Vaishnavas and all of you here to try to address this difficult to address purport in one sense. At the same time, a very purifying experience, at least for me, contemplating upon what to share. Maharaj Agnidhara, great king or great son of another great king, Maharaj Priyavrat, took the responsibility of ruling the kingdom on the order of his father Maharaj Priyavrat. When Maharaj Priyavrat wanted to leave the kingdom to take to the renounced order of life, and Maharaj Agnidhara, as a very responsible, obedient king, took to this service of ruling the kingdom not to enjoy the facilities that come as a king, but simply to serve the citizens, considering each of his citizens as his own child. Please appreciate the sense of responsibility that Maharaj Agnidhara must be feeling within his heart. Position of a leader is not a position of enjoyment, although it appears so, but the position of a leader is a position of greater responsibility towards those who are put as your subordinates. As Srimad Bhagavatam says, that the duty of a king or a father or a mother or any leader is to deliver the dependents from the cycle of birth and death. It's a big responsibility. It's not a position of fun. And Maharaj Agnidhara, very conscious of this responsibility, took up this service as a very obedient king to rule the kingdom. He thought that this is another very beautiful aspect. The moment one is given a leadership post, one doesn't think just how to render my service in my life. He thinks of the future. This is one of the very important qualifications of a mature leader, that he anticipates the future. Future doesn't mean just 5, 10, 15, 20 years of his life, few generations to come. And that's why a king always wanted to have at least one son. The son that was required by the king was simply to be able to delegate the responsibilities. First of all, train that son to become a qualified king, and then to delegate the responsibility so that he can take up a higher responsibility in the kingdom. So having a son was not just, like sometimes today it's considered, women, girl children as very not so good, and we want a male child so we can carry on with our generation, with our family lineage. What is the value of our family lineage in this age of Kali? But the kings, they were conscious of the fact that the world requires a pure leader. And it's my responsibility, having been given by my predecessors, that I before I leave this kingdom, I should give this responsibility of the kingdom to a very qualified, responsible personality. Was being very conscious of their sense of responsibility for the future generations to come, he wanted a qualified son. And to have a qualified son, one needs a qualified, equally qualified wife. The wife was not just for enjoyment. It was to give a qualified son for the whole world to be taken care of. In that mood, Maharaj Agnidhara, looking for a qualified wife, he went to Mandara Hill, because it is, he knew that that's where the heavenly damsels come. This was not from the point of view of being very, they will be more beautiful, but they'll be more qualified. So qualified son can come through her, who can rule the kingdom after me. Just see, this is the sense of responsibility a leader should have. And here Maharaj Agnidhara was trained by Maharaj Priyavrat in that sense of responsibility. And he went to Mandara Hill. It is mentioned, he started praying to Lord Brahma for having a qualified wife. It is mentioned, Brahma, having understood the desire of Maharaj Agnidhara through the super soul, sent Purvachitti. And then we hear a series of verses about the beauty of Purvachitti. And Maharaj Agnidhara was getting captivated by that beauty. At the same time, he knew the purpose for which he is there. He is not here for enjoyment, he is here for austerity. He was performing some austerity to please Lord Brahma, to send a qualified wife so that he can have a qualified child to rule the kingdom after him. It's not easy to train someone who is very difficult to train. It is mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purpose also that sometimes one can give birth to an untrainable child, in the sense of very difficult to train personality. If one doesn't properly conceive the child. So part of preparation as a parent or as a king is the samskara, like Srila Prabhupada talks about as a garbhadhan samskara, to have a qualified son who is trainable. Or rather, a very qualified son can be born who is already trained from previous lives, and this life not much effort has to be put upon him to further train him to be a pure devotee of Krishna. So Maharaj Agnidhara, with these kind of intentions, had gone to Mandara Hill. But as the nature of the material energy, the beauty of Purvachitti's physical form was kind of bewildering him. Kamais tais ter hritagyanah, Prabhupada says in one of the purports, previous purports, that his intelligence, although he was being conscious of why is he there, but it was getting bewildered. Things were getting hazy because the beauty of her form was so attractive to his eyes and his heart that he was getting confused. As Srila Prabhupada says here, that he could not recognize whether Purvachitti was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. And one of the previous purports, Prabhupada says, actually he knew she's a girl, but she was so beautiful that he was getting just bewildered. So this was like a very confusing state for Maharaj Agnidhara. On one hand, by the power of his austerities, he had kind of gone beyond this conception of a man and a woman. Seeing that this personality, this form, as a Muniputra, Subhaga, oh most fortunate one. And with that consciousness, he was seeing that the bodily form, that here I am meeting a Muniputra. I am meeting a very pure, very beautiful sage, or son of a sage.
Generally, bodily beauty is a sign of piety from the last birth. See, he was thinking that here is a very pious soul. And if you carefully, from this perspective, if you study the purport, he's feeling kind of compassion that these two big horns that you're carrying, why you're necessarily burdening your body? Your body is so thin. And you're carrying these big horns. Must be so difficult for your thin waist, and your back must be having trouble carrying these big horns. If you see from this perspective, Maharaj Agnidhara is feeling that pain in his heart for why necessarily you have to carry these horns. What's so valuable that you have to keep it to yourself like this? Keep it somewhere else, those valuable things. Whatever you are carrying within those horns. So although there's bewilderness, at the same time there's the result by the power of his austerity, he's not really distinguishing that, he's not really convinced that this is a woman. As Prabhupada is here mentioning in this purport. This is a stage of sthita pragya, actually. Shripad Ramanujacharya explains in his commentaries on this series of verses 2.54 Bhagavad Gita how there are different levels of a sthita pragya. The lowest level is, there are four different levels he talks about. Very beautiful to understand and contemplate upon. The lowest level of a sthita pragya is when he sees the object of sense enjoyment, he's getting attracted towards it, but he knows this is sense enjoyment, I should not go for it. And he somehow restrains engagement of his senses in enjoying that sense object. He says no to it. Always getting attracted. So it's like a fight between the heart and the intelligence. The heart is saying, I want to enjoy it. Intelligence says, no, this is not meant for your enjoyment. It's meant to serve Krishna. That's the lowest level of a sthita pragya. If he says yes for it, he's not a sthita pragya. But when he's able to say somehow a no, he is some category of a sthita pragya. The higher than that is, he's easily able to say no. He sees the object of sense enjoyment, he's getting attracted, but not so difficult to say no. Third level of a sthita pragya is, he is neutral to it. He's not really getting attracted towards it. Sense enjoyment is there, so what? And the highest level, he explains, is he is not identifying that object as an object of sense enjoyment. He's not registering that this is an object for my enjoyment. He's just seeing that this is an object to serve Krishna with. The consciousness is not even registering it as sense object for sense enjoyment. This was the consciousness of Shukdev Goswami while he was walking from his house, and he saw those women bathing naked. He didn't even register them as an object of enjoyment, and the women could understand that here is a very pure soul, like a child. For a little child, he doesn't get attracted to the form of a woman. He doesn't even see that form as an object of enjoyment. The highest stage of sthita pragya. And Srila Prabhupada in those purports talks about the highest stage only. Prajayahati yada kaman sarvan parth manogatan. That he is completely free from the desire to enjoy when he sees an object of sense gratification or object, a sense object. He doesn't even think, he doesn't even desire of enjoying it. This is the highest category according to Shripad Ramanujacharya. Srila Prabhupada only talks about that one category in his purports. This is where Srila Prabhupada expects us to come. That we don't even register the sense object as an object of enjoyment for us. But we are far away from that standard. So at least let us aspire for being at some lower stages of sthita pragya where the object of sense enjoyment is there, but at least we should be able to say a comfortable no to that object of enjoyment. And every day these tests come in our life, every day, practically throughout the day. Shastras at many places mentions the precautions to be taken. I know one brahmachari, he used to be like a fanatic brahmachari, and he had in his locker, he had put quotations: women are like snakes, don't dare get near them or they'll bite you to death. And somewhere, some from some places, some statements and some maybe speculations, but some statements he had written so that he can protect himself from this attraction, gender. This is a very, very strong attraction. Srila Prabhupada calls them invisible shackles of the material energy. The most powerful binding factor in this material world is this attraction between the opposite genders. Of course, these days it's between same genders, as Srila Jananda Maharaj was talking about. Actually, this Prabhupada says in one purport, in no other species there's attraction between the same gender except human beings. So human beings who are having attraction in the same species are even lower than animals. It's a much more degraded level of consciousness. They are sub-animals who are feeling attraction in the same gender. No other species has that kind of attraction. But to have attraction towards the opposite gender is very, very natural. And it's very powerful. The attraction is very powerful, very irresistible. Shastras, a big chunk of Srimad Bhagavatam talks about this attraction. It's not something to be hidden. This is not good, you shouldn't talk about it. Rather, Shastras openly talk about it so that you know the dangers of it. That's one thing. And secondly, how to overcome it. So fanaticism, or this kind of an attitude where actually there's nothing wrong with man or woman, Prabhupada said. Man is good, woman is good, Prabhupada once said. But the combination is not good, he said. Seeing the man as a man for a woman, or seeing the woman as a woman for a man, is not good. So it's a perception that is not good. The problem is with the perception, not with the personalities. Like here, Agnidhara was not able to, was seeing that Purvachitti as Muniputra. So there was no problem as such. But the intelligence was getting bewildered. How can this man be so beautiful? Muni, how beautiful, extremely beautiful. So simply negation to this enjoyment and this attraction is not the solution. At least not prescribed by Srila Prabhupada or the process of bhakti. The Mayavadis who talk very strong statements against appreciating the beauty of a woman, especially the breasts of a woman. Shankaracharya has many verses quoted, I don't remember the verses, but he says that how you should not see the form of the beautiful breasts of a woman. But it's like saying, don't think of a blue colored monkey. And immediately you think of a blue colored monkey. So this don'ts, really don't, are not as powerful to help us avoid those thoughts. So the Vaishnava Acharyas, or the past process of bhakti, doesn't too much stress on negation. Avoid the sight of a woman. Of course, for practicing sadhakas, one need to keep a safe and a healthy distance from the opposite gender. One should not put oneself in a position of weakness. One should not put oneself in a place where we know that my attachments may overrule my consciousness. Therefore, it is recommended, sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi. Keep strong association. and avoid weak association or association or circumstance that can make us fall weak, make us fall victim to the material energy. Therefore, we recommend to devotees, especially in Brahmachari training, especially for the new bhaktas, we strongly recommend they shouldn't be alone. Because when one thinks one is alone, actually nobody is alone. The super soul is always, the 12 directions, the 12 witnesses are always watching us. But we think we are alone, and that's the time when the urges from within, they trouble a lot. So this is like putting oneself in a weak situation, putting oneself in a place where one is alone. Therefore, we recommend devotees, especially the brahmacharis, I tell them that when you travel out of the ashram, travel with another devotee to be on the safe side, especially while traveling in trains and buses. It can be very disturbing, it can be very distracting. And I have experienced, many devotees have come and expressed how their consciousness gets so disturbed when they travel from one place to another. And our movement is a preaching movement. We can't really avoid completely traveling. So this is a thin line, when to allow devotees to start traveling. The Vedic concept of a Gurukula is where one is at one place. Therefore, traveling is not very recommended in the early stages of one's growth in Krishna consciousness. Because when you go out in this world, you can't avoid seeing, especially in this age of Kali, everywhere you see the opposite gender is being exposed and being propagated for their personal sense gratifications. So, yes, we cautions of avoiding oneself to be in a weak situation. All of us may have different areas of weaknesses. So we have to identify those areas and take care to not to put oneself in those weak situations. But Srila Prabhupada generally recommends the positive solutions to this problem. Yes, this attraction is very strong. It's very difficult to overcome. Matra swasa duhitrava navikta sano bhavet. Palavan indriya gramo vidvam samapikarshati. Shastra se. Srimad Bhagavatam mentions how matra with one's own mother, swastra one's sister, duhitrava one's daughter, navikta sano bhavet. Don't sit so close, too close to them. Palavan indriya gramo, the senses are very powerful. Vidvam samapi. Even a man in knowledge, he can get extremely bewildered. That's how powerful is this attraction. Very difficult to overcome by any material standards. But shastras recommend Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasovajam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. By experiencing something higher, there is no other way we can overcome this powerful attraction unless we have something superior to attract us. Simply negating this attraction will just not work. Not possible. Though we have to take precautions, but simply negating just will not work. Just like Narad Muni in his previous life as a Dasiputra, He got attracted by these four Bhakti Vedantas, by hearing from them, by tasting their powerful remnants. He became so attracted to them that he wanted to live with them. But they told him, no, we want you to take care of her. Till the time she's alive, take care of her. Now, attachment to parents, I have experience in training devotees, the brahmachari especially, they have two biggest obstacles: attachment to women, attachment to parents. These are two powerful obstacles. And generally, or many cases I have observed, that attachment sometimes to parents is more deeper than attachment to the opposite gender. Because attachment to opposite gender is more on the physical plane. But attachment to family members is more on the emotional plane. And therefore, it's much more deeper sometimes. Attachment on the physical plane is there, it's flickering, it comes and goes time to time. But attachment on the emotional platform goes deeper. Some that kind of attachment is very, very difficult. And I know many devotees, many brahmacharis who have happened to change their ashram not because of attraction towards the opposite gender. That attraction may be there, but it's not as powerful for them But they changed because they couldn't tolerate their old mother or old father being not taken care of. Just to take care of them, they happened to change their ashram. So this attraction, this attachment on the emotional plane is also very, very powerful. But Narada here, as a Dasiputra in his previous life, he could overcome that attachment to his mother. The moment his mother died, he just did the last rituals and he left from there looking for those Bhakti Vedantas. He didn't lament over the death of his mother. And that mother for this child, Narada, was the only source of protection. She was the only person for this little child who would take care of him. But he was not worried because his heart was filled with the attachment to those Bhakti Vedantas, because of which he could overcome the attachment for his, towards his mother. For a little child, the attachment to mother is so powerful. But just see, he could overcome it. He had something higher. Therefore, sadhu sangha. One meaning to the word sangha is association, but another meaning to the word sangha is attachment. Sangha steshu pajayate. There the proper says sangha means attachment. So sadhu sangha means attachment to sadhu, attachment to sadhu, attachment to sadhu. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koe. This is the only one thing that can be superior to attachment to the opposite gender. It's attachment to a spiritual personality. Therefore, we see practical examples. Srila Prabhupada's so many disciples, as we heard some days back, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, he was expressing his own experience. Such a beautiful experience. It was very heart touching the way he explained, right sitting here in Vrindavan, how he was traveling with Mr. Nair for that Juhu deal in a vehicle. And one side Mr. Nair was sitting, other side this woman was sitting. And while they were traveling, he was feeling very uncomfortable sitting between next to this woman. But somehow he said, I didn't want it to disturb the progress in the deal that was going on. And he said he was tried to be seduced by this woman sitting next to him. And he said, this woman is trying to touch Maharaj at the time, a brahmachari, young brahmachari. But he immediately thought, if I give in to this enjoyment that she's asking for, what will Srila Prabhupada think if Prabhupada comes to know? What will be the reputation of the movement if I happen to do something wrong like this? And he could overcome this strong urge to enjoy, thinking of, because of his attachment to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, that day I understood how much I love Srila Prabhupada. This is a test. This is really a test. If you really love your spiritual master, it's not so difficult to understand that. You can check it out time to time by when you see the form of a beautiful woman, especially when you know that somebody you can enjoy. When that opportunity comes, do you give in to that enjoyment? Or you can say no by the strength of that love. And Giriraj Swami Maharaj expressed that because he thought like that about Srila Prabhupada and his reputation and the reputation of the whole society, he could give it up. Such a strong attack. Like Haridas Thakur, he was attacked by a prostitute. He could say no. He was all alone. He didn't have any present. His attraction to Lord Krishna, the holy names, was so intense. He could comfortably avoid that enjoyment, that opportunity for enjoyment. So this is the only key. Attachment to a sadhu. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi. Unless we become attached to a sadhu, if we think we can avoid this attachment, we can overcome this attachment to the opposite gender, we are an illusion. So this higher taste, how at our level, what is it that at our level we have to do to get this attachment? Now Krishna is Rasaraj. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. And if we connect to Krishna, we connect to the Supreme Lord, we can overcome this connection to the material energy in the form of, as representatives of Maya. And the biggest problem in this age of Kali, Kale Dosha Nidhe Rajan, the Dosha Nidhe is connection from Krishna. Fault, as we generally say, dosha is faults. But what is the biggest fault? Forgetfulness of Krishna or disconnection from Krishna. It's not that just we see fault in people, that's a fault. Biggest fault is we forget Krishna, we disconnect our consciousness from Krishna. We see something and we don't connect that thought, that sight to Krishna. So we have to constantly keep our consciousness connected to Krishna. This is the effort that the sadhaka, this is sadhana. Sadhana means to somehow or the other practice life in a way that we do not disconnect from Krishna, or we connect to Krishna.
Dhrida kori dharo nitair paai.
And Narottam Das Thakur is praying, hold on, dhrida kori dharo nitair paai. Or a representative of Lord Nityananda, hold on to the lotus feet. Sometimes when we hear the words lotus feet, we think of actually we take a photograph of lotus feet of Krishna or lotus feet of Nityananda, which is not wrong completely. But what the intention or the practical application for us is the teachings or the instructions we receive of the Supreme Lord through the spiritual master. Hold on to those instructions. Dhrida kori. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, one devotee beautifully explained his realizations. He said, Lord Chaitanya, when he came to spread Yuga Dharma, he focused mainly on chanting the holy names. Wherever he traveled, he spread the holy names. He didn't emphasize as much on anything besides chanting the holy names. When Srila Prabhupada came, he am on hearing Harikatha. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, this is the realization one devotee expressed, Lord Chaitanya stressed or emphasized more on chanting the holy names because he understood the rarity of hearing from a pure devotee. But when Srila Prabhupada was present on the planet, here is an opportunity to hear Harikatha. And therefore he started this morning and evening hearing program, which was never ever focused and emphasized upon before. Nowhere else and no other spiritual movement, this kind of emphasis on hearing morning and evening is prescribed. When we hear morning and evening from a pure devotee of Krishna, that leads to this sangha, this attachment. So, dhrida kori dharo nitayar pai is hold on to these teachings, these instructions that we receive through the program of hearing every morning and every evening. Do not neglect this transcendental program designed by Srila Prabhupada very thoughtfully. Now that we have association of a pure devotee, not that when we say like this, hear from a pure devotee means chanting is not important. Sometimes our material logical mind or brain works like this. When we say one thing as emphasis, that means other things are not as important. No, they are like two parallel tracks of a railway line. You can't remove any one of them. But both have to go on. Tendency is we tend to give more importance to something of the two which we like. We like more chanting. Yesterday I was talking to one person. He was saying, I like to chant and I really feel chanting is the most important thing, and I just focus whenever I get time, I chant. Which is not wrong in one sense, but the wrong thing is, therefore I'm doing it. Tomorrow he may not like it, he'll stop doing it. We have to do what is prescribed. It's not a matter of I like this, I don't like this. What is prescribed by Srila Prabhupada is this program where we hear every morning and evening. This is something very, very important. This is what Narad Muni as a child did in his previous life, because of which he got attracted to these Bhakti Vedantas. Attraction to a sadhu shouldn't be on the physical plane, it should be on the sound vibration plane. On the plane of hearing the pure sound vibrations emanating. It is said when we participate in pure glorification of Krishna, one receives shelter of Krishna. Sometimes when a person takes an initiation or connects to a spiritual master, he expects a lot of things coming from the spiritual master. He should give me this, that, fulfill my expectations. Actually, a spiritual master simply is there to glorify Krishna. And a disciple is supposed to participate in that pure glorification done by a guru of Krishna. And if one is able to connect to that pure glorification, one feels sheltered. It's not that when I receive, fulfill, get my expectations fulfilled, I'll feel sheltered. Because feeling of shelter is what gives us the higher taste. Then one can overcome this attraction. Not so difficult. Why we are attracted to something other than Krishna? Because we are not feeling satisfied in our relationship with Krishna. That satisfaction, that sense of security, sense of feeling sheltered is not there. How to feel sheltered on a spiritual plane? Is by participating in pure glorification of Krishna. When a pure devotee is glorifying Krishna, he simply give an attentive ear or attentive heart to that. We try to participate. It's participate, not just physically attend. Get involved in that glorification. To the degree we are able to participate, one feels that shelter coming from the pure devotee. Actually from Krishna, through that pure glorification taking place. Then one can easily avoid this kind of attraction. So there are positives mentioned like this by Srila Prabhupada and given so mercifully to overcome this powerful attraction which is otherwise not possible to overcome. As Maharaj Agnidhra, although he was so qualified, performing austerity, being very obedient, responsible, but when he saw this beautiful form, he was getting bewildered. It may happen for any one of us. We are not as responsible, as obedient like Maharaj Agnidhra. So for us, a little, small little attraction coming from the opposite gender is enough to distract us from our Krishna consciousness. And it has happened with so many in the past. Even within our movement. So we have to hold on to this positive process as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. But participating in this pure glorification, every day we have to hear about Krishna, spoken by pure devotees of Krishna. We regularly hear, and based on that hearing, we chant the holy names. Take it very, very seriously. Then we have these powerful weapons given by Srila Prabhupada to us, that we can overcome this attraction. It's possible by any one of us. It's not only for Haridas Thakur. It's not only for great souls like Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Each one of us can reach to a platform where we can comfortably avoid, at least we can reach to a second or a third stage of Siddha Pragya, if not immediately to the fourth stage, where we can comfortably avoid this attraction. And then we can focus more and more and more on our relationship with Krishna. That's what is our eternal relationship. The relationship that we are getting attracted to is so. But this knowledge doesn't work. When the attachment comes, when the attraction comes towards the opposite gender, this, all the philosophy, just we forget. At that time, we only think of how can I enjoy this. So we have to train our consciousness. We have to mold our lives in a way that we take our time for hearing from pure devotees of Krishna every day. Rather, twice a day as prescribed by Srila Prabhupada. And with that, chant the holy names in the early morning hours preferably. Then by the strength of these two things and strengthening our relationship with Krishna, we will see that this attraction to the opposite gender is gradually reducing. and soon we'll see sufficient reduction haven't taken place. Hare Krishna. It's very late. I'm sorry for extending. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.